This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Liberalism is intolerant. Liberalism's tolerance is the delayed onset of its intolerance. Up until recently, anyway, many Muslims in the West have been playing the silence game, hoping they will leave us alone, reject the truthfulness of the very deen we follow. We don't take them as allies. And ideologically speaking, they're hitting Muslims continually, demanding that we compromise our religion and change our deen to fit into the quote-unquote modern world. I'm your ideological arms manufacturer. Arming ourselves with the intellectual and ideological weapons needed to fight the fight we need to do. Not only ideologically defend ourselves, but we need to take the ideological fight to them. Once you call people a label and you say they are categorized by it and it's part of a culture, the community that they have to follow, you've discriminated them from anybody else. Desires don't define you, your choices do. Teaching polygamy as an acceptable form of relationship in schools, they would riot. They started attacking male circumcision as male genital mutilation. Remove the genitals from someone, that's called gender reaffirming surgery. Have the creator of the universe on your side, what are you scared of? As Muslims, we argue from the Islamic basis, not because it is our belief simply, not because we are a minority that we want to have our rights respected, quote unquote, all that rights are determined by liberalism or by any man-made constitution. No, the Islamic basis is reality itself.
The verse is, وَلَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ وَبْلَيْنْ in the back of my mind. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted you in Badr and you were small in number. You could be small in number today, but if this message penetrates the speaker's hearts and the listener's hearts, then this message can go far and wide. As we see that the Sahaba alayhim ridwan were 313 in number and the opposition was great, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted the Sahaba alayhim ridwan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, as-salatu wa-salam, Nabi Kareem Muhammad wa alayhi tayyibin wa sahbihi salihin. I greet you with Islamic wings of peace. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To all the brothers have come today, also to the any undercover press that will be misrepresenting this event at a later point in time. One of the previous speakers said that when we were all asked to keep our discussion to about 10 minutes, he didn't say, inshallah. It's been my experience that if a Muslim intends not to follow the rules of something, they do say, inshallah. Because as you know, the neo-Jabriyah have come back, and unless, so many Muslims believe, that unless Allah physically compels them, that they do not need to honor any particular promises. Anyway, so today, I want to discuss, I wasn't actually going to discuss that topic. I asked for a change of that topic, which is arming ourselves with the intellectual and ideological weapons needed to fight the fight we need to do, we need to fight. I'm your ideological arms manufacturer. And as you're standing in ranks in the Battle of Badr, figuratively speaking, it would help if you have a sword and shield and a few spears. So that's what inshallah I would be trying to provide based on my experience. Now look, we were once told, society was once told not to oppose gay marriage because they said, how would it affect you if some people want to get married to members of the same sex? Of course, once that became normalized and under the rubric of equality, quote unquote, they then said, well, it would be hateful and not accepting of people, and would be unequal if we didn't consider such relationships to be morally equal to opposite sex relationships. Because we're all meant to believe in equality. It was the message. And once people got hooked on the term, on the concept of equality, they were then compelled to agree to the moral equivalency of same-sex marriage. And of course, the Quran warns us about the people of previous revelations. Of course, the people in England are the descendants of Christians, even though we're no longer a majority Christian country according to the last census, which is that they'll never be happy with us until we follow what they have followed. And up until now, up until recently anyway, many Muslims in the West have been playing the silence game, hoping they will leave us alone, hoping to say, lakum dinakum waliyadin, to you, your belief, your way of life, to us, ours. But just like as in Makkah, the pagans didn't accept that, right? They didn't accept to you your deen and to us ours. They wanted to force the Muslims to follow their way of life. And ideologically speaking, they're hitting Muslims continually, demanding that we compromise our religion and change our deen to fit into the quote-unquote modern world. What they mean by that is whatever the current fashion is in the West at any point in time. That's what they mean by that. So it's time for us to not only really to stop being silent and stop trying to appease, hoping that they would just leave us alone, because they're not, they never intended to, but for us to not only ideologically defend ourselves, but we need to take the ideological fight to them. We should be going on the ideological offensive. We are meant to be shuhadat ala nas, yeah, witnesses to mankind. Right? That doesn't only kick in when your children are told false ideas. You should have been doing this way before. All Muslims are meant to be witnesses to mankind of the truth. And so I will make 4 points for you today for something that you should carry forth with some practical arguments, you could say. Firstly, we should be arguing the Islamic case, and not the Islamic case from a liberal perspective. We should be arguing unapologetically from our perspective, because all other perspectives are false. It is kufr, right? There's only one perspective that this universe recognizes, and that is the one that sustains it. He who sustains it, his perspective, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. Secondly, when we do hold non-Muslims to account for what they do against Muslims, we should hold them on the basis of the inconsistency in their actions, as well ultimately in their deen. Some people talk about muscular liberalism as a separate kind of liberalism. No, there's only one kind, liberalism, and it's always been intolerant. I've always said many years ago that liberalism's tolerance is the delayed onset of its intolerance. It waits to persuade you first, hoping that, well, we'll persuade you and that should be fine. But if you're not persuaded by it, it eventually ramps up the pressure until it begins to force. And sure, it might not have thought that it could crack you as a tough nut, but it was always hoping that you'd send your children to their schools. And of course, your children are not as well protected as you are. And then it's a waiting game while they slowly assimilate your kids into their worldview. And if you think, well, has that ever worked before? Oh, yes, quite. Well, the Muslim world is a product of it. Right? Many Muslims are completely secular in their worldview, and they don't even realize it, even with those who are religious. Right? Just today, you mentioned to Muslims that, well, the obligation that all classical scholars consider that Muslims should be under, the united, re-established Khilafah, the successorship to the Prophet Muhammad in Amr, in command, and Muslims consider that to be a minor point, or not important, or just idealistic. Well, congratulations, you're colonized. Yeah, because your ancestors, your forefathers were in the Western schools that were built in the Muslim world. So it works. They know it works. And they're doing it to your kids now. Thirdly, we should be confident, right? If you have the creator of the universe on your side, what are you scared of? Right? Is there anything greater than him that you need to worry about if he's on your side? And more importantly, we try to be on his side, right? And lastly, as Muslims, we are told in the Quran to cooperate in the good, not to make alliances with those who reject the truthfulness of the very deen we follow. We don't take them as allies. Yeah, we can cooperate on single matters where Islam deems it to be good, but we don't have allies. Right? Our allies are each other and no one else. So let's go to the arguing the Islamic case confidently. Now, first and foremost, I want to correct a misconception. Our issue is against things like sodomy or same-sex intercourse being viewed as morally equivalent or morally permissible. We disagree with this. Not we disagree with it, the creator of the universe disagrees with this. Let's just put that into perspective. It's not a subjective disagreement. This is an objective one. The truth of the all behind all reality deems this to be something which is opposing the truth, opposing what is he's declared to be good. But here's the issue. The term homosexuality, to use that, or even homosexual, is a very vague term. And it doesn't occur in the Sharia. It doesn't occur in Hadith or Quran. Right? In the Hadith and Quran, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Torah, Tanakh, and in almost every civilization, there is no word for homosexual. There is a word for someone who commits an action, which is haram and forbidden, but not the word for someone who has these bad desires. Why? Because it would be actually quite a silly concept, because every human being has waswas for bad desires. Are you going to be labeled now according to the waswas that you have, the whispers or the temptations you follow? It is ridiculous, right? But it was created only in the late 18th century. It was created as a term to distinguish people of different sexualities, actual sexual pathologies, so aberrant or deviant sexualities. That's what it was used to classify. And then it became eventually used to classify a whole community. But the Islamic paradigm is we reject this. And you know what? We actually discriminate less than the West does against quote-unquote homosexuals. Why? Because we don't even recognize that's a valid term to discriminate and categorize human beings by. Once you call people a label and you say they are categorized by it, and it's part of a culture, the community that they have to follow, you've discriminated them from anybody else. As far as we're concerned, everyone's just human. Right? Either you believe in the truth or not, that's the category which we look at. But apart from those who are believers and disbelievers, there is no other category that we recognize. And yet the West started discriminating and we are blamed for discrimination. No, we don't discriminate. Throw it upon them. You discriminate in the first place by inventing a term for people who just have a sexual preferences or what have you. We've all got all kinds of desires. Doesn't mean you're defined by your desires. Secondly, the Islamic paradigm, we should argue it. They say in the West, for example, that they say, well, you know, rape is bad. You say, okay, and why is that? They'll say, because rape occurs between a person who wants to commit rape and someone who doesn't consent to sex. And you say, okay, and just humor me here, why is that bad? Because the person doesn't consent, well, they own their body. And if they don't give consent to have their body undergo that sexual intimacy, then that's what makes it wrong. And I say, okay, well, in a way, then our argument is the same, except with one change. We also argue that all sex between people where the consent of the owner of the body isn't given is wrong. We actually believe that as Muslims. Yeah, we do. Who owns human bodies? Who is the owner of everything in the universe? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he doesn't give consent for you to use his property or abuse his property in the way that you want or whoever wants to do so. That is our argument. That is the Islamic argument. That's what makes things right or wrong. It is the consent, the permission of the creator of the entire universe, who is the owner and sustainer of everything in it. That is our paradigm. That is our argument. That is how we judge good from bad. Allah's permission and prohibition. And there is no other meaning beyond that. There is no other cosmic meaning beyond Allah's permission and obligation, his commandment and his prohibition. Now, what about the second point then? So now I've made up the issue. We argue from the Islamic paradigm. What about the second issue? What about holding people to account for inconsistency in their own way of life? Why should we even bother arguing to liberals they're being inconsistent with their deen? Surely we don't believe in their deen. No, of course we don't. But there's a point to this, right? Everything's false, everything that is false has inconsistency. We simply are pointing out that not only are they being inconsistent with applying their deen, but their deen is inconsistent and is not the basis, nor should be the basis for judging good and bad or for regulating the affairs of mankind. Now, the Quran uses such a similar argument, yeah? Which is, it talked about the pagan Quraysh. They used to bury their firstborn alive if the firstborn was a female. They viewed it was a shame to only have female children. And yet they attributed to Allah that he had three daughters. And what does the Quran say? Right? Has Allah preferred for you sons and taken for himself daughters? The Quran's not trying to justify the belief that God has daughters. No. The Quran is simply saying, in a way, look how ridiculous you argue. Yeah, you say it's a shame to have daughters, but you've attributed it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet for yourself, you take sons. It's pointing out the inconsistencies in their way of life. Now, not a key argument. They say we live in secular states. You know, secular states, the point of a secular state is it is neutral on matters of religion and belief and ideas and so on and so forth, allegedly. So, well, here's the issue of this. Neutral, but you're not being consistent with it. Why is that? Because it is a moral position to believe that only people who are adults and of the opposite sex can get married and form a valid couple. That's a position. To argue the opposing position to that is not neutral. That's taking a side. That's adopting a position. And to argue that all relationships are morally the equivalent and the same, even though there was a belief before that said that they're not all equivalent and morally equivalent and the same, that's not neutral. That's being biased. Okay? If they say school should be a neutral place, they say, good, then don't teach that then to kids. Okay, you say it should be neutral, fine. Act like it then. Don't teach the children that. And they say, it's for them to learn about all the different kinds of relationships that occur in the world. And it's like, well, firstly, if you're saying that these things happen in the world, that would be something else. But to argue that all these relationships are all the quote-unquote okay, the same as each other in moral worth and value, that is a biased position. And that isn't neutral. Would they teach children in school that if a man has four wives and they form a family, that's okay, that's just the same as a couple of only two people in it, right? No, they would riot over that. Teaching polygamy as an acceptable form of relationship in schools, they would riot over this. And yet, we as Muslims are forced to accept that our children have to be taught that it is morally okay for there to exist. Same-sex couples are morally equivalent to opposite-sex couples. Look at the hypocrisy they have. They hate polygamy. They would never teach that the children to be okay, but it happens, though. Doesn't it? It happens. Oh, but you don't want to. Why don't you want to teach it, though? Why don't you want to tell children that's an acceptable form of relationship? That is the hypocrisy we need to call them on. And bringing this to a close, we have to accept that liberalism is intolerant. Always was. It's based on the idea that the humans own their own bodies, which is in opposite to the belief that God is the owner of ourselves. So they were always going to be biased, and they were always going to be intolerant of anyone who teaches otherwise. This was always the case. Right? Don't expect that you can argue with liberals for them to accept to be actually tolerant. No, our position should be to merely make them realize this and to argue that, the first reason that liberalism was invented was to allow people to follow and express different religious beliefs because there was intolerance between people of different religious beliefs. That was the reason liberalism was brought in the first place. It promised to solve that problem. And yet it is going against the very first reason it was invented in the first place. Now it is to suppress religious beliefs and the expression of such. Now, and there's many contradictions you can bring. They say that they're going to start attacking male circumcision as male genital mutilation. They say that female genital mutilation, they're now going to attack male circumcision as male genital mutilation. They'll say that is, even though you're removing a vestigial part of skin that has no consequence to the child's enjoyment of when they become adults, of a full reproductive life in marriage. However, if you completely remove the genitals from someone, that's called gender reaffirming surgery. It's like, wasn't the word mutilation used to mean to change something? Doesn't that qualify? Does that qualify more? They say, oh, how dare you call it mutilation? But isn't that what the word means? No? This is the inconsistencies that they follow. And they will soon be arguing, and many atheists have already started to say, that teaching religion itself is child abuse. Yeah? So, and it's coming. Just teaching your children Islam, and many in some Western countries, has been grounds for some people's the custody of their own children to be held in question. It's coming. You don't have a choice to be passive in this, right? It's not that you want to avoid war. War is upon you. War is already upon you. You just have the choice whether you want to fight it or not, ideologically speaking. Right. Now, I'll kind of end with this then. Which is, they are going to argue, and they do, that you are intolerant of people who are classified as homosexual because you don't accept them for who they are. You need to challenge this. Who you are is what you choose to believe, whether you choose to be good or just, whether you choose to recognize the truth, that's who you are. If you're saying that your desires define who you are, there are many bad desires that the law criminalizes in this country. Could you argue to everyone in prisons today that they're not being accepted for who they are because they broke some law, they committed some crime? If desires define you, then are you not persecuting criminals then? Or who you call criminals anyway, for simply being who they are? That's the ridiculousness of the argument. Who you are is your choices. You don't have to act on sexual impulses. I hope we all don't, because most of the time when you're in the streets, there are going to be fitna, there's going to be temptation, and most people in Western society on a regular basis have to suppress most of the sexual agitation they receive on a day-to-day basis, just walking down the street. Right? You're not meant to just jump on people and attack and sexually assault them. You're meant to choose to suppress those desires and not harass people or not go up or even sexually harass them by talking to them or what have you. Because even some speeches deemed to be sexual harassment. So the West expects you to suppress your sexual desires for like 98% of the time, right? Yeah, and that's fine. We agree. We would even go one further. Lower the gaze. We would go even further than that. Actually lower your gaze. But here's the point. Which is, if choosing your choices define who you really are, and you can choose to reject one particular expression of sexual attraction and choose to kind of channel that instinct in a good way, as deemed by the Creator, then that choice defines you, not the presence of the desire itself. You are not determined, you're not robots that you must carry out every single impulse you have. What makes us human is that we don't carry out every single impulse we have. Because desires don't define you, your choices do. Right? And lastly, I know that there's many arguments they bring up, which I wish I had more time to go through all of them. Please check out the leaflets that are present. But to finish up what I was saying at the very beginning, as Muslims, we argue from the Islamic basis, not because it is our belief simply, not because we are a minority that we want to have our rights respected, quote unquote. All that rights are determined by liberalism or by any man-made constitution. No, the Islamic basis is reality itself. Right? We argue it because we're calling people to open their eyes to reality, not to our minority opinion as a community in the West. No, we're telling people to wake up to the reality that they live in as human beings, as who are creations of the Creator of the universe. And when we hold them to account, we hold them to account based on their inconsistency, not because we want to kowtow to liberalism. I want just to give a very quick analogy. It's like if in the Mecca, if a Muslim was being persecuted And as they're being tortured, they'd say, "Why are you doing this to me? Would Hubal be happy with you, what you're doing to me?" You wouldn't say that, because Hubal's fake, right? And it's false. Liberalism is a modern day idol. We don't kowtow to it. We don't say, "Oh, but does liberalism allow you to do this?" No, we simply point out, look how inconsistently you behave and how inconsistent your ideology is. If you truly hold to these rules, why don't you follow them then? That's how we argue. But we don't say, "I have a constitutional right to..." No, you have only the rights given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some people try to argue, but if that's the case, why does God not punish you until the day of judgment, right? Surely that means that humans have a right to do whatever we want to do. No, you don't have a right to do whatever you want to do. Humans have a respite that might allow them to do what they do for a fixed duration. But even then, the punishment can come on this earth, not even waiting for the hereafter. No, no one has a right to do kufr or to do fasad or to do fahisha. You might have a respite, right? But not a right. Lastly, we need to be confident, right? And confidence doesn't mean that you seek allies. Like, "Oh, please help me, sir. Please help me. We're so weak." No, you should argue from the position of being the uppermost. That's what the Quran says. Muslims, you should be arguing from the position of you're on the uppermost because of the truth, not because we're inherently better as individuals. No, we're sinners, we make mistakes, but the haqq is what's on the uppermost. So guess what? Act like it, right? Don't look at non-Muslims around us as our betters or superiors. That's a colonial mentality, yeah? We look at them as, many of them as ignorant people who need to be guided, who need to be opened up to revelation. They're only acting according to the social programming given to them of these false ideologies, repeating the same lines that they've been told, "Oh, my body, my choice, and my free..." No, I'm sorry, it's not your body, it's God's body, right? Yeah? Freedom, you're not free anywhere. Maybe if you were in a desert island by yourself, you'd be free, although even the lions and tigers and the bears on the desert island might eat you, so you're not really free anyway. You're never free. Humans can't be free according to whatever weird idealism you follow. We're all slaves to something. So why not just be a slave to the truth rather than being a slave to falsehood? And I'll finish up by saying, the Quran says, Allah will perfect His light even though the disbelievers hate it. So will you take up the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and perfect His light? And not care about those who hate it.